Our next speaker is Molly Dlamini from Jubilee 2000 South Africa. She's a student at Wits University in Johannesburg. She's a member of the student movement at Wits University and is committed to the struggle of social and economic justice. She's a member of the Student Union for Christian Action and a member of South Africa Student Congress. Please welcome Molly.
Firstly, I just want to say I think the World Bank and the IMF have participated for a long time in other countries. Looking at South Africa, it started to participate in terms of our policies just before our first democratic elections, which were in 1994. Because we didn't owe a lot of money, it just came as a friend who's coming to give some advice to our new government. And I will just mention a few policies that the World Bank has made recommendations to our country, and those recommendations that we now see in our policies in South Africa. It wrote papers on land reform, it wrote papers on trade policy, it wrote papers on economic policy, it wrote papers on housing, it made recommendations on many policies. Just to mention some of the things that it recommended in terms of economic policies, it recommended that we should have an export-led growth, and I think you all know about it, which is produce for exporting instead of producing for your domestic environment. And this is affecting our country in a negative way, because you find that industries like textile industries are going down because there's more competition with the outside world, there's more trade. In fact, the report of the International Labour Organization reports that South Africa has opened up its markets more than it was required. And some of the things that the bank has also recommended in terms of labor market is that our labor market must be flexible. And our country has also done that. So what's happening is that it's taking almost everything that the bank has asked it to do, although we were not at gunpoint when we were supposed to make these policies. So we find that our labor market is becoming flexible, companies are being national industries are being privatized, and those are some of the recommendations that the bank has made. And you know that when national industries are being privatized, it means those companies will start to downsize, right size, retrench, because they are in competition with the world. So this issue of competition has been entrenched in our economic policy, and our country is responding to that. So people are losing their jobs, people are getting unemployed, and if they're losing their jobs, they get casual jobs of which they don't get benefits, and then in some way, even our welfare system is going down. So those are the problems that the World Bank and the IMF are giving to us. Another thing that is recommended is that our country, our economic policy must be investor-friendly, meaning it must create an environment for those foreign companies to come and invest. But that affects labor in a negative way, because now it means that some labor standards has to be dropped, and that is a problem. It has also recommended fiscal discipline, like it has recommended in other countries where it implemented, structural adjustment programs. So in that way, our government has to cut in social spending, like health, like education, like housing, and now you find out that people no longer have access to these things, and that's a problem. I just want to put this in context, because when I mention these things, you have heard some of them. The context that we have in South Africa is that of a context where we are from apartheid, as you all know, and you know what apartheid did. It was a racist government that we had, a racist policy which said let others dominate others. And I think you know about that. And it was a policy which oppressed the black. It was a policy that did not give access to black people in general, to access education, to access ownership of land, and stuff like that. But now the problem is, when this World Bank comes and make these recommendations, it looks like they're blind to these realities. It looks like they don't take into account where our country is coming from. So my problem with this World Bank is that it continues to cement the legacy of apartheid, like I've been saying during the day in some discussion that I was in. It continues to keep the legacy of apartheid alive, and that's a problem. So that's the context that I want to mention to you when we look at the issue of World Bank and the IMF in our country. And then another context that I want to talk about is the context of globalization. The World Bank is an agent of economic globalization. And this globalization is a problem because this globalization makes the richer more richer. It makes the poor more poor. And it's against the victim, you know, the one who is poor. And that's a problem. If I could just make an example concerning the issue of globalization and how it affects people. I just want to mention a gender perspective on this issue, that people who are mostly affected by these policies are women, and that's a problem because you find that these are the people who have a burden of taking care of the households. So when everything is wrong, they're the ones who have the burden. And I think that's something that I can mention about South Africa. If there's no longer welfare, people tend to tend to their mothers, their sisters, to take care of the people in the household. If people no longer have benefits where they work, if people no longer have benefits like your medical aid, your old age homes, then it's a burden to women. So in a way, the World Bank and the IMF, they are not taking up issues of women like they pronounce that they are doing. They talk about poverty eradication, they talk about transparency, they talk about anti-corruption, but all of those things, they are doing the opposite. So in whatever I'm trying to say is that the World Bank and the IMF are just killing our society, and that's a problem. Just one last thing that I would like to mention to this forum is that as a student, as a human being, as somebody who believes, and as somebody who believes in God, I just want to put a challenge to church people, and I just want to put a challenge to all of you that let's have something to die for as a people. Let's have something to live for, and I would like people to be able to take up these issues, and because I think if we don't do anything, history will judge us. So those would be my words, not because I'm saying people should. People, I'm trying to work on your conscience or something, but I think those are the words that I'd like to leave with you.
Scholar activist Dennis Brutus from South Africa says that after the struggle for apartheid had been won, he never thought that he would again be fighting for similar rights, but this time fighting against the World Bank and the IMF. And I think that Molly's statement is one that we need to heed. And as we heed it, we need to remember what Frederick Douglass said: power concedes nothing without a demand, and that's what we are here to do. It is to demand justice for ourselves, for people we know and people we don't know, for people we have met and people we'll never meet. But this is a right and a just cause, and it's one that we must commit to, as I said, this week and for the rest of our lives.